Good morning.
Good morning.
So as you remember, that 2 weeks ago, we started to talk about the existence of God. We wanted to focus on the doctrine of God, and we talked about the existence of God because I strongly believe that for each one of us, our understanding on the existence of God will make a big difference in how we live our lives. Our each action, our each attitude, our each behavior, our each decisions will have an effect if you believe in God or if you don't believe in God. And then last Sunday we talked about experience of God through Jesus Christ. We talked about the doctrine of Son of God. We talked about that how Jesus came here on the earth, how Jesus incarnated here on the earth and became one of us, experienced all the challenges like all of us we are going through. And today we are going to talk about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We want to focus on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, that how the Spirit of God will lead us and guide us in our life. But before we do that, I wanted to say a few words about the doctrine of Trinity, because often in the church we hear this term that God, three in one. There is a song, right? Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And it says, one God in three persons. What does it even mean? How can we understand that? And often as we try to understand this mysterious concept with our materialistic mind in the present world, we even get more confused. And tell you the truth, actually, I struggled with that idea. I struggled to understand that idea. And as I was reading and as I was listening to some people, I got two examples which I want to share with you, which actually gives me some clarity, some idea. But remember, we are talking about the greatest mystery in the universe. And to tell you with one or two illustrations is not going to justify it, right? But it will actually give us some idea, some clarity. The first one comes from the science, like, you know, we have H2O, water. Water in its liquid form is a water. Water in its gas form is vapor. And water in its solid form is ice. Now, it's the same property, but have three different ways that we can experience and we can look at it and we can understand it. Or the other one, a little bit better way, is just me as a person. When I took a birth in a family, I was a child to my parents. I was their son. And my responsibility at that time to be their obedient son, to do whatever they would ask me to do. And they treated me like their son, and I treated me, myself, like their son, because that was my identity, that was my most important job at that time. And then I got married, and then I became a husband. And so I have a wife, and I have daughters now. So now my responsibility toward my wife is to act like a husband. I'm still a son to my parents, but now I have a second identity. I have a little bit different role. I look same, I have a same personality, but the way I act and react toward my wife is a little bit different than the way I would act and react toward my parents. And then God blessed us with two beautiful daughters. And now I became father. And so the way I connect with my children is a little bit different than the way I connect with my wife and the way I connect with my parents. See, I am same person, but sometimes I'm playing three different roles at the same time. But when I was a child, my prominent role was to be a son. When I got married, my prominent role is to obey wholeheartedly to my wife and do everything she asked me to do. Amen? And then when I have two daughters, I actually obey more than even my wife now to them. So my whole life is just being obedient person. Amen? Same is when we look at God in the Old Testament, from the book of Genesis to book of Malachi, God, we understand as a creator. God created us, God created the universe, and then God became a father figure in the Old Testament. And so when we look at God in the Old Testament, you will see his action, his behavior, his connection with his, especially with his children. People of Israel is like a loving and guiding father. And then we have Son, Jesus Christ, in the gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. We hear that God became man and dwelt among us. Now that God, who was a father, he has become a son now. He is obedient to his father. He is connecting well with us. Now remember, in the Old Testament, there are still references of son. In fact, if you remember the Song of David 51, he says, "Cast me not away from thy presence, O God, and do not take thy Holy Spirit from me." Now, this is David is writing almost 3,000 years from us and almost 1,000 years before Holy Spirit came here on the earth. But still, David, in his intuition mind, in his understanding, he knew there is a Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit lives in me, and I have to obey Holy Spirit, and it is possible that my behavior might grieve Holy Spirit. And so, yes, it was the age of God, the Father, but Jesus and the Holy Spirit was active. In fact, if you know the story of Daniel chapter 3, verse 25, there's a story about king who is throwing Daniel and two of his friends into the fire because of their disobedience to the king's rule as they were praying to their God. And the scripture tells us when king looks from outside, he realizes like, hey, I threw three people inside, but I see four of them. And the other one looked like Son of God. In other words, the presence of Jesus was also prevalent in the Old Testament, but God the Father took the major role. And in the gospel, again, we see Jesus constantly talking to God the Father, right? He constantly tells his disciples that I am in deep connection with God the Father every day, and whatever I receive from God, I pass it to you. And so, yes, in the gospel, we see that age of the Son of God. And at one time, Jesus tells to his disciples that, guess what, guys? It is my time to go back. And disciples, rightfully, they were devastated. They were so afraid. What's going to happen, Jesus, if you leave us? Because we left everything for you. And now you're telling us that you're going to leave us? What happens if you leave us? How are we going to survive? How the mission is going to continue? And the scripture tells us, and Jesus told that don't worry, because I'm going to send you somebody who's going to even much better help to you. And of course, we know the story that in book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came, and from then onwards, dear people of God, is the age of the Holy Spirit. We live in the time where the Holy Spirit work in the church is very prevalent. The work of the Holy Spirit is so amazing, so transformative, that when Jesus was here on the earth, he could be only at one place at one time. He could only touch the people with whom he was there at that time. But now when the Holy Spirit is with us, the Spirit is in abiding in us, and the Spirit is moving everywhere around the world. Almost 50 years ago, Chinese government, they thought that we got rid of all the religions. All the religions are going to stop in China. Nothing is going to happen. And guess what? The church is flourishing in that China. There are 100 million Christians in China, even though there is a strong government opposition and persecution against it, because it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The work of the Holy Spirit is transformative. The Holy Spirit, we believe, is present here. That Holy Spirit is present in Sunnyvale First Church. It is present in Presbyterian Church. It's present everywhere all around the world. Because that Spirit is a divine Spirit. And so we want to talk about not only the existence of God, not only the experience of God, but we will talk about the energy of God, how that Spirit works in our lives. And I invited Fran to come and read the scripture for us. Fran, where are you? Okay.
A reading from John 14, verse 15 to 21, the New International Version. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them."
Amen. So here we see Jesus is predicting, Jesus is telling to his disciples that as he goes off from here, he is going to send them a helper. And that helper is the Holy Spirit. And here Jesus talks about two important characters of the Holy Spirit. Number one, this Holy Spirit is a helper. When I read different translations, some translations said that he's an advocate, or he is a friend, or he is a comforter, or he is a guide, or he is a leader. But overall, all those combined meaning would be that Holy Spirit is there to help us, to lead us, and guide us. Amen? That as we live this life, as we walk in the spiritual journey, there will come a time that when we do not know what to do, there will come a time that when we realize that my strength is not enough to go any further. And at that time, dear people of God, the Holy Spirit, the scripture says, will walk with us, lead us, and guide us. And our responsibility at that time to obey and listen to Holy Spirit, to say yes to God's plan. Because it is possible that Holy Spirit might lead us, but we might not follow. It is possible that Holy Spirit might talk to us, but we might be busy listening to other people and other experiences. We need to be attentive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You know, I was thinking about that. Think about that. You are in a car and Holy Spirit is in your car. You don't know where you're going, but Holy Spirit does know where you're going. But if you're driving by yourself and Holy Spirit is just in the next seat, or maybe if you say like, "Holy Spirit, guess what? Somebody else is going to come and sit here. Why don't you go back?" And then, "Holy Spirit, guess what? Three of my friends just came in. Why don't you go back in the trunk?" And it is possible that we might put Holy Spirit in the trunk and Holy Spirit is talking to us, but guess what? We're not listening. He knows where we're going. We don't know where we're going. But we have left Holy Spirit in our trunk. Or think about like, I use GPS all the time. And I put address in my GPS, in my phone. And when I come to the car, by mistake, I put my everything back in the trunk, including my GPS, my phone. And now I'm driving. I know back in my mind that like, hey, there is a GPS in my car. But guess what? I'm not strong enough to actually stop my car and go back and open the trunk and actually get GPS. So I'll just drive on my own. And you and I know, dear people of God, what's going to happen with that, right? I might drive whole day and I would still not reach to my destination. At the end of the day, I will realize there is no more gas in my car. And I'm hungry and I'm upset because guess what? I have not listened to my GPS. I have asked Holy Spirit to go in my trunk. The Spirit of God is the spirit of comfort. When we go through difficult time, when we go through sickness, when we go through the loss of loved ones in our family, when we go through difficult experiences, that Holy Spirit comes to us alongside us and give us comfort. But it is possible, dear people of God, that we might seek comfort at other places, maybe unhealthy places, even though Holy Spirit is available to us. Jesus tells to his disciples that I'm going to send you a helper. And our job, dear people of God, is to be open to that helper. Amen? Open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, listening still small voice of that Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is not bully. He's not going to force his will upon you. He's going to gently guide you. He's going to have a gentle conversation with you. And we got to be really attentive to listen to him. Because more we hear his voice becomes stronger and stronger. But more we neglect his voice becomes weaker and weaker. And there will come a time, dear people of God, in our life that even the Holy Spirit is talking, we have absolutely no ear to listen to him. And that was exactly the prayer of David. Cast me not away from thy presence, O God, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He realized that it is possible that Holy Spirit might be still there and I might still not have any guidance from Holy Spirit. This morning, dear people of God, the challenge for us as disciples of Christ, are we listening to that still small voice? Or are we driving car on our own? Are we driving our lives on our own? And exactly not knowing where we are going. What we're supposed to do? Well, I got to do something even though I don't know what to do. Holy Spirit is the spirit of guidance and comfort and wisdom and leading. I pray for all of us here this morning, dear people of God, that we might be attentive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The second thing, the second character Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. Spirit of one truth, not many truths. Because sometimes, as human beings, we confuse between facts and truth. There are so many facts in the world. There are mathematical facts, there are scientific facts, there are historical facts, there are geographical facts. So there are so many facts, but there is one truth. And these facts are so powerful, you cannot argue against it. For example, 2 + 2 = 4. If you have asked this question 3 million ago to somebody, hey, guess what? 2 + 2 = what? Answer is 4. If you ask somebody here in the church, what is 2 + 2 = 4? If you ask somebody in India, if you ask somebody in China, if you ask somebody anywhere in the whole universe, 2 + 2 = 4 is a fact. It doesn't matter how brilliant you are, you can never speak against it. You can never disprove the fact that 2 + 2 = 4. In fact, it is so powerful that with these mathematical facts, you could be in your small cabin here on the earth. And if you are smart enough, if you are brilliant enough to make such a calculation, that it could be as true in the whole universe. You can send the spaceship upon the moon just by calculating the math. Because these are facts. And there are some spiritual facts, dear people of God. God is good. God is kind. God is gracious. God is loving. God is faithful. God is everywhere. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. These are facts. But you and I know that if I put facts here and if I have no connection, it doesn't do any good to me. Hey, Reggie, 2 + 2 = 4. So what's the big deal about it? How does that help me in my life? God is good. I get it. How does that affect in my life? God is gracious. I get it. So what? How do I live my life? And so, dear people of God, when you and I apply these facts into our life, and the Holy Spirit will help us to apply those facts, that becomes truth for us. Amen? That becomes real for us. Now, God is gracious, and therefore, when I struggle in my life, Holy Spirit will convict me of my sin, and then I go and say sorry to Jesus, and eventually I'm reconciled to God. You see, God is gracious because of the work of the Holy Spirit. It became truth in my life. Amen? God is caring. And when I go through struggle in my life, when I spend time in prayer, I feel God's comfort through Holy Spirit. And now the truth for me, dear people of God, is that I know that God is caring, but I have been cared by God. I know that God is comforting God, but guess what? I have received that comfort in my life. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And I pray that not only we gather facts, spiritual facts, through sermon, through small group, through reading the scripture, those are good things. We can gather all the spiritual facts, but if it doesn't translate into real life experiences, it has absolutely no meaning. So many people know those facts. The scripture says even Satan knows the Bible better than us. So what? It's not only what knowing is important, but eventually having that experience in our life. And that experience, dear people of God, comes through the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and in my life. Holy Spirit is a spirit of help. And Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. And I hope and I pray that today we will experience that comfort and care and guidance and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, and the truth of the Holy Spirit will become our truth. Amen? Your truth and my truth. Now, you know, for example, there are so many facts about America, right? But if you land in California, and if you land in New York, and if you land in Texas, you're going to have a little bit different experiences, right? We cannot say there are so many Americas, but we all can say, well, what I know and experience about America is a little bit different than what you might experience in California, in Texas, in New York. And dear people of God, yes, there are facts, but how we connect with those facts, spiritual facts in our day-to-day life, we might have a little bit different experiences, and that's all good and that's all wonderful, as long as we draw these facts and these experiences through the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And that facts becomes real truth for you and for me. You see, I heard a fact about the work of God, that God can change lives. God can change one of the worst habits you can ever have. And so when I was 18 years old, I accepted Jesus Christ in my life. But one of my struggle at that time, I was a very, very bad thief. I used to steal money from my father's wallet. And I'm glad that he's not here to hear this, otherwise he might just faint. That was a bad habit. I constantly did it. I did it every day. I couldn't control it anymore. I did it for so long. I became so good at it. I could easily steal. Now, I wasn't going out and stealing from everybody else. I was just only stealing from my father's wallet. And I was actually worried for my future. Because, you know, D.L. Moody, one of the evangelists, he said that if there is a thief and he's stealing nuts and bolts from the railroad, and if you educate him, eventually he's going to steal the whole railway. Because we think like by educating somebody, we're changing that person. And that's what I thought about myself. If by being so small, yet if I'm so good at stealing, guess what could happen when I grow up and when I gather some more knowledge and information? I could become really bad thief. And that was my struggle. And on that day when I prayed to God, I said, God, you know my struggle and this is one of my habits, and I think there is nothing I can do about it. And on that day, the work of the Holy Spirit became real in my life. That fact became truth in my life. And I still have some other trouble, but I don't steal anymore. Amen? And so, guys, don't hold to your pockets anymore. You're fine. Because it is the work of the Holy Spirit. And I pray and I bless you this morning with that comforting and truthful presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, in your family, at this church, and everywhere we go. Let us close our eyes and pray. Loving Holy Spirit, we come before you this morning. We bring ourselves. Some of us have experienced devastating loss in our family. Those losses still affect us. Still makes us sad. Lord, you know the relationship we have with one another, our family members. And some of us don't have the best relationships. And when we think about those relationships, we hurt, we grieve. Lord, you know that some of us are betrayed by the loved ones, by the people who's supposed to help us, who's supposed to stand by us. And so, Holy Spirit, once again, we give ourselves. We want to experience your leading. We want to experience your comfort. We want to experience your presence. We also want to make those facts our reality and our truth. Because in the Bible, we read about so many wonderful stories, so many other experiences we hear from other people. And when we look at our own life, we don't have those experiences. We don't have those feelings. Because those facts are for other people. We want those facts to become our reality. Holy Spirit, lead us into the truth. Help us to experience those facts and make it a reality for us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.